In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At the end of these Thursday evening services, we will quieten around the Word of God, which I will read from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Amen. This portion of the Bible, which I read, tells about the life of the congregation of children of God in the New Testament. And there are four things here that they personally experienced in their own life of faith to be important. And these four things were these: that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and they remained in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And as we examine this word, we will examine how these four things are important to us, and are they in use in our own life of faith? This text is related to the events which happened at Pentecost. Jesus had arisen into heaven, and according to his promises, his Father will send the Holy Spirit to his own disciples. And this happened on Pentecost. You all remember that on Pentecost, when the disciples were gathered, these fiery tongues were lowered down on their heads. And through the effect of the Holy Spirit, they were able to speak in foreign languages or foreign tongues. They were gathered in Jerusalem from many different countries. I counted they were gathered from at least 9 different places. They were amazed because they could hear people talking in their own language about the great works of God. Some of them thought that the disciples were drunk, and that is why they talked like this. This is quite amazing. They could clearly hear them speak in their own language so that they could understand the speech of the apostles. It seems kind of extraordinary that they would think they were drunk. But then Peter stood up in the midst of the apostles, and he started to explain what was happening. He said, "They are not drunk, but this is happening, which God prophesied through the prophet Joel, that God will let his Spirit descend on all flesh." And then he continues, and he tells them about the Lord Jesus, who the prophet had promised would come into this world and redeem us of our sins. And he told them, "You crucified him, but when Jesus died, God awakened him from the dead. Death was overcome. He was victorious over death." And he repeated this, that you kill this person who saved you. And those who listened to what he said were struck in their hearts, and they asked, "What should they do?" And so Peter answered to them, "Make repentance, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what happened? On that day, according to Luke, 3,000 people received the grace of repentance. There was a time of awakening then, and of these 3,000 people, and perhaps there were even more, of these, the apostle says, these four things which we said in the beginning. And the first thing was that they remained steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. What was this doctrine of the apostles, which those 3,000 people who received repentance, what was this doctrine they remained in? There were others listening to this speech other than the disciples. And this doctrine of the apostles was different than the doctrine of the people, other people around them. There were Jews, there were Pharisees, there were scribes, and their doctrine, or their redemption, was based on their own works and their own acts. They tried to gain acceptance before God with their own works. This and the doctrine of the apostles was different. They taught that there is no person who can live in such a way that he would fulfill the demanding law of Christ. Everyone has strayed or erred. There is not one person who does good. And for these sinful people, the only possibility is that the Son of God has taken and carried the sins of all people and has redeemed them on the middle tree of Golgotha. And he gave us a robe of righteousness that was acceptable to God. The older people once said that Jesus wove a robe of righteousness. He fulfilled the law. And when he took and carried the sins of us and of the world, he died because of our sins. And by doing that, he wove this robe of righteousness, which is acceptable to God. And according to the doctrine of the apostles, a person receives this robe when he believes upon Jesus and receives repentance and receives his sins forgiven, so that we become righteous through faith. This is familiar to us, that we become righteous through faith, not by what we do. And we receive this as a gift. We have been given it through grace. It has not cost us anything. Next year is the 500 years after the Reformation. And this one central concept of the Reformation was that a person can become righteous before God only through grace and through faith and through Christ. And this is the doctrine of the apostles. And this is the same doctrine of the children of God today. Through the grace of God, and we have received our own sins forgiven. And this grace that we have received as a gift, we want to offer this to all people. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for in it is that righteousness which is acceptable to God. It is goes from faith to faith. And we were told of this in the services this afternoon, when we were told of Saul, when he received this righteousness. He did not receive it on the road to Tarsus, but he received it when Ananias put his hands upon him and said that that Lord which appeared to you on the road sent me so that you would receive the Holy Spirit and receive your sight again. This was the gospel which was preached to him, and Saul of Tarsus received the forgiveness of his sins, and he was clothed in that robe of righteousness which is acceptable to God. And this is the doctrine of the apostles, that we become saved through grace and through faith and through the work of Christ. And we can also say that when we confess our faith in the divine worship, we say that we believe in God, the Almighty Father, maker of heaven and earth. And in the third article of the Creed, we say that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, and the communion of saints. And Luther explains it and says that we believe that on this earth there is a small holy group which is called together by the Holy Spirit, and they are in the same mind. They have the same understanding of faith, and they do not have heresies. And I am a member of this group. And I have thought in this Luther's explanation that they remained in the doctrine of the apostles, and they were of the same mind, or they had the same concept of faith, and they agreed upon how they believed. Like the apostle says, it was like they had one heart and one soul, because they agreed so completely on matters of doctrine. Doctrine cannot save a person, but a doctrine is so that we can reject false doctrines and false teachings, and it shows us the way to this faith which has been written in God's Word. As we keep these services, we gather around the Word of God, and in front of the mirror of that Word, we can examine that, are we believing in the way that God's Word teaches us and instructs us? God's Word is unchanging. It has not changed since the teachings of Jesus. We live in a time where people want to say that this Bible, this Word of God, has just been written by people, and it just pertains to a time that was lived long ago. And now when we are so wise and we live in such a technical word, we do not have to have anything to do with this Word of God. And we can see that even the laws of this country are beginning to depart from the Word of God. And we want to pray for our government, for those who are leading us, so that God would give them understanding, give them understanding and wisdom, so that they could use this law of God, the Ten Commandments, as a base for making their laws. God's Word is that which lasts. It does not change. Its content does not change, even though people's understandings and conceptions change. That is why it is important that in front of the mirror of the Word of God, we pray and we We want to remain in the footsteps of those who walked before us. So they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That doctrine whose central matter was this, that because of the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. And we receive it by believing on the gospel. A person who has lost his childhood faith, all children, when they are born into this world, are children of God. And it says in the Bible that they continued in fellowship. They gathered together diligently. They studied the Word of God. And they kept contact with each other. But this was not the most important thing. It was important, but it wasn't the most important. These services, for example, now are different than they were before, because now we can hear these services on the internet, and they can be heard throughout the world. And it is good that they are listening, these services, that people listen to them. But what do you think, dear brothers and sisters? If it's possible to come to listen to the Word of God and to gather there where there are other children of God, isn't there a danger that if you just listen to on the radio, that little by little you become separated from the communion of the saints, or these other children of God start to become strange to you. And so they lived in fellowship. There is a deeper meaning also. This fellowship meant that the gospel united these believers in love. This love is like a cement which makes stones stick to each other. This love unites the children of God to each other so that they are one congregation. This love isn't our temporal love, but it is a love that Holy Spirit causes. It is a deeper love. And this it unites us on this road where we are traveling to our victory, the victory of heaven. And the enemy of the soul wants to break this love. Although we are righteous, we are also sinful. According to Paul, sin lives in us. And because when it lives in us, many times things happen. We easily get offended. We easily offend other people. Some people think before they speak, but some people speak before they think. And unintentionally, they may break the love between people. When Jesus speaks about the church law of Christ, if your brother transgresses against you, talk about it with your brother. There are many aspects of this, but one thing is this. If your brother offends you, talk about it with your brother. Why should I go to him to talk about it? Because he has offended me. I'm the one who became hurt. I don't want to even have anything to do with that person. Why should I go to talk to him about it? Because he's the one who offended me. Isn't he the one who should come talk to me about it? But this is where the part of the Bible says that if your brother offends you, talk about it with him. If my love is broken, if I can't feel love to that other person, then it means that I am becoming separated from those other people. And for my own life of faith, it is important that I don't have anything, I'm not offended, and I don't feel anything, carry anything against anybody in my heart. It's important that there is love in my heart towards all people, and especially towards other children of God, so that love that would keep me closely attached to the people of God in this one holy congregation, which is the body of Christ. We are members of the body of Christ, and we are attached tightly to each other. We do not want that the devil would separate us from this body of Christ. And so I want to, because of my own life of faith, I need to keep love with the other believers. It speaks of breaking of bread. Saturday evening, even in this tent, we will break bread. Or, in other words, we will serve communion, and it is a holy supper. Sometime before, there was this communion service. There was a sermon of confession. There was a sermon and confession and the forgiveness of sins. And people prepared themselves to come to this Holy Supper in this way. When I was in Latvia, there was a divine worship, and there was a communion service there. And when this divine worship began, the priest called all those who were going to go to communion to come close to the altar, and he went from one to the other, and he put his hand upon them. And I understood that in this way he was forgiving them their sins. And then the people went back to sit down, and the divine worship continued like it normally does. And then at the end of this divine worship, they had communion. And so, no, only those who had gone to the altar whom the priest had blessed, only those could go to this communion. And to me, that's a picture of what communion is like, what it was like before, and what it is like now. And we use these sacraments correctly when we accept them in faith, and we use them in faith. The Lord Jesus set communion for his disciples, and he told his disciples to take this bread and eat it. This is my body. And he took the wine, and he said, this is my blood. And he said, so often as you drink of it and eat of it, do it in my remembrance. And I'll ask you, what do you think? What do you think the disciples remembered? When Jesus died and had arose and gone into heaven, and when they were having communion in their homes, what do you think they remembered? Maybe the most central thing they remembered is when they took that bread, Jesus said, "This is my body which you are taking." And on Good Friday, Jesus gave up his body and his blood flowed. And so the disciples probably most likely thought that God gave up his life, or Jesus gave up his life because of me. And this communion supper made them lift their gaze from their own hearts to the Lord Jesus, and it strengthened their faith, because their faith was completely on the merit of the Lord Jesus. I have received the forgiveness of all my sins, and this Holy Supper, it strengthens their faith. And then, do you know, sometimes when I have been at these communion services, at summer services, when you come to communion, you probably at home, you have taken care of matters with your spouse, and your children have taken care of your matters. Once I watched when an elderly couple came towards the altar, and when they came close to the altar, then they hugged each other and they asked for forgiveness from each other, and they forgave each other. And then they kneeled in front of the altar and they enjoyed the bread and blood of Jesus. They wanted to take care of their love for each other, and they wanted that assurance that they are both traveling on the same road to heaven. This Holy Supper, or this communion, has been set for the strengthening of a believer's faith. But I don't know if it is wrong to say it, but I would like to say, when we speak of communion, before, when we went to church for communion, the older people put on their best Sunday clothes. They were dressed in their best clothes, and I thought that it showed that they felt that this communion or Holy Supper was such a holy thing that in a concrete way they wanted to dress to show how important this communion is. I don't mean that you all have to go find your Sunday clothes now that we are here in the midst of this field, but I think that we should think of this. When it's hot weather, it doesn't feel good when you come to the supper, to communion, when you're half bare or you have too little clothing. I think it is important that when we come to communion, we should think of how we are dressed. So we think of what is this supper that we come to. Of course, the most important thing is that we enjoy it through faith and for the strengthening of our faith. And this is included in this apostles' doctrine. These sacraments have been set by the Lord Jesus Christ for his own on this journey to strengthen their faith. And then the last thing is said here, that they were praying. The disciples were praying. What kind of prayers are you? I must say that when life is good, things are going according to plan and there's no special worries, then we tend to forget to pray. But then when we have a situation where we are ill, or there is some disaster happens, or some great trial or great tribulation, and it seems, if it is for ourselves personally or for our children or for our loved ones, it seems like I just won't make it. Then we pray. Our hands are pressed together. We don't even say anything, but our heart sighs and says, "Help me. Help me now, dear Father." And in these summer services and in other services, when the children of God have felt that they are poor prayers, there are those who have asked for prayers of concession from others so that other children of God would also pray on my behalf, so that the other children of God would pray for us in many life situations. We feel our own weakness and lack of strength in these situations, and we want to help one another and carry one another to the heart of the Heavenly Father, so that would remain in the same group. In the midst of all those things that we encounter in this life, the Bible promises us. The Apostle Peter says to put all your burden upon him. He will take care of you. God wants that we can make journey with free hearts. He will carry our worries and burdens. And this requires faith that for us to accept that God knows better than we do. In the midst of trials, we may ask that, has God forsaken me or has God forgotten me? It seems like, why do I have such hard journeys or why do I have such heavy burdens? But we need to have faith so that we can trust God, that He knows what is good for us. And God is such a God that He lets things happen to us, but the purpose for them is that we would be preserved as His own. We tend to trust on ourselves, trust in ourselves when things go good, and then we distance ourselves from God. The children of God in the New Testament remained in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And why did they do this? For this reason, that God had given them into their hearts this sight, or in their hearts they felt that they wanted to reach heaven. Paul said when he was an old man that I have fought a good fight, I have run a good race, and I have kept my faith. A righteous crown is waiting for me, not only for me, but to all those who love His appearance. Faith has positive effects for us in this life, but most importantly, we believe so that we would reach the destination and be victorious. This evening, I want to encourage you, brother and sister, in your own personal faith. Believe In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious atoning of blood, believe your sins and doubts forgiven. Be comforted and be blessed. This kingdom is a kingdom that cannot be conquered. Even the gates of hell cannot conquer it. When we remain in this kingdom, we will be in the group that is victorious. And at our destination, we will be able to see our Savior face to face. He who came into this world so that He could have us in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us quieten in the evening prayer. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.